plate a potential nugget.
And picking up on a similar theme, Sudhir, you talk about growing a category versus growing a brand.
Yeah.
And you frame it as a choice between doing more versus doing better.
Yeah.
And that's something I reflect on as well.
Yeah.
In the context of journeys, there's always this choice between specialization and generalization.
Yeah.
And maybe trying out adjacencies.
Yeah.
Give us a sense of how you think about this in the context of brands and maybe reflect on it as you would apply it to
journeys. Yeah, no, I think Deepak, in the book, I think there are two separate points and I'll sort of answer them separately because the first point is, why is it easier to grow a category than to grow market share within a category? And the second point is, why should a brand do what it's doing better rather than doing newer things? There are two separate related but separate questions. I think the first question is that a category growing represents an unsolved consumer problem. Gaining market share represents a problem that is already solved and you're trying to go and get a piece of the cake, right? So from a consumer point of view, it's always easier and better and sort of more profitable and in whichever way you look at it, solving an unsolved problem rather than someone solved the problem already and you're trying to solve 5% that problem 5% better. This is why it's generally easier and better to, you know, build categories and bake your own pie rather than take a piece of someone else's pie as a general rule of principle. The second point is that within brands, it is always better for a brand to do what it does better rather than to do many things. And it goes back to the question on what brands are and the what you know brands are fundamentally. Brands, if they're a set of associations, you've got three or four pieces of real estate in consumers' minds. And the consumers' minds is the most expensive place and difficult piece of real estate to get. Now, what your job is to deepen those associations and sort of really have them stronger. A new association, the cost of doing it is always much higher than the cost of deepening an association. So, and also when you get new associations in, you start weakening the older associations.
Give us an example here.
So, you know, I gave an example in a book. When I was a management trainee, I worked in the foods category. And you know, for a brief while. And I saw that what sold in the market was basically Kissan tomato ketchup and Kissan mixed fruit jam. It was 80 to 90% of our business. 20 years later, I came, or 18 years later, I came as the director of the foods business. And when I looked at our foods business, it was still 90% of tomato ketchup and mixed fruit jam. In that interim, we had launched many, many things as Kissan. We had launched Kissan soy juice, we had launched Kissan staples, we had launched Kissan health food drinks, etc., etc. But the fact is that in consumers' minds, Kissan was this fruits and vegetable brand, and it wasn't anything else. And guess what? You know, less than 15% of Indians consume Kissan. So the same amount of money, had we spent deepening those associations and gone from 15 to 30, we'd have been a lot better off rather than trying to get new associations with Kissan. So there's always an unsolved problem in what you're doing well and to do more of it. Very rarely, like there might be a 10% chance that, you know, you're kind of hitting a wall, but 9 out of 10 times there's always more room and it's always easier to win where you are rather than to sort of go wide.
If you reflect on that in the context of your journey or professional choices, is there a parallel in terms of how you think about that over time?
I think, you know, quite early on, in IMA itself, I kind of sort of doubled in on the fact that marketing was something I was good at and something that I enjoyed. And I've kind of broadly, despite a lot of distractions here and there, you know how things are, you can always get distracted. I like building consumer brands. I like doing advertising. I like sort of doing innovation. So I've kind of kept myself focused on these areas. And with time, I've also realized that, you know, I kind of enjoy it. And I've kind of stuck to that journey rather than learning too many new tricks.
But if I may go back to that and persist, what gave you that conviction? I remember back in 99 when a lot of us were running around like headless chickens saying, you know, we'll get into a bank or a consulting firm or something else that pays the big bucks.
Yeah.
You had extraordinary clarity that this was it.
Yeah.
What gave you that conviction at that point?
No, I think, you know, I must say that my father, I was fortunate who was, you know, he was a generation into the corporate world. You know, he was an L&T, he had worked in banks. So he had a good sense of the world after you join, after 10 years, 20 years. So I think he was, one of the few things he was very clear about was that I joined Levers. He also felt that I should do marketing. He knew me well. So he was actually one of those guys who never really, you know, I was never a good student throughout because he didn't allow me to do tuitions. He never really wanted me to do one thing. But one of the few things he wanted me to do in life was to join Leavers. I think he had a high regard for the institution, but I think he also saw it. And I must say that at IMA, so I actually got into Leavers before I joined IMA, and I didn't take it, though my dad wanted me to join
Leavers. Oh, is that so?
I didn't know that. When I was in Xavier's, you know, they recruited management trainees.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And he wanted me to take it, but I said, no, I am. But he was still keen, you know, so I did my summers in Leavers. And I also, once I kind of, I guess, so on the one axis, there was a push there, and then I guess Professor A.K. Jain's marketing one did create a pull. So I did get fascinated by him and the clarity of thought and sort of the deep rigor, because a lot of people, you know, come in thinking, you know, marketing is fluff, but, you know, A.K. Jain was anything but that. It was just because it's not numbers all the time, it doesn't mean you can't have depth of thinking. So I guess those were the two influences that really have kept me going.
And if I may persist further, what gave your father that conviction that HUL was the right thing for you? What about HUL appealed to him?
See, he had a belief that he was an old-fashioned guy. So he had a belief that the first job a person does, he was an engineer, he was an IT engineer, should either be in the shop floor or in the market. So it was an old-fashioned view. And it's 100% right view. These things don't go out of fashion. I don't think, I can say it as many times, I don't think young people should work in air-conditioned offices on Excel sheets for the first 4 or 5 years of their life. So he was very clear that that foundation of being out in the sort of heat, so it was a value system of his.
Sudhir, earlier in the conversation, speaks about knowing which decisions to get right. If we juxtapose that with what he says here, it's fascinating that his father was flexible about several things, but was particular about this one thing, which was around Sudhir joining HUL. And one could argue that this one decision made a big difference to his journey. Sudhir also refers a lot to Professor A.K. Jain in the book and during this conversation. I had the privilege of interviewing him in the context of a felicitation function that some of the alumni organized, led by Rama Bijapurkar, a few months back. If you wish to listen to my conversation with Professor A.K. Jain, you could just go to YouTube and type A.K. Jain and my name Deepak Jayaraman, and you will get the YouTube links to our conversation. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. If you're deriving value for the content and want to show your gratitude to the podcast, I request you to consider paying it forward by contributing to an organization that I support, Antarang Foundation. It helps thousands of children from challenging backgrounds play to their unique potential. Please visit the paid forward section at playtopotential.com to know more. Thank you.